Hey, and welcome to Saturate with your host, gospel singer, and Bible teacher, Chris Norman. Saturate is a program where we study to show ourselves approved, not ashamed, and rightly dividing the word of truth. So grab your Bible and study along with us as we dig deeper in order to expose a lot of erroneous preconceived ideas about God's word. As we prepare to study, let's pray. Father, thank you for making your word available to us, and thanks for the Holy Spirit's anointing to discern what we read today. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, here's your host, Chris Norman.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Saturate. We're so glad you're here. I hope you get a chance to go and visit saturatenow.com. That's the website associated with our ministry, Crossroads Gospel Singers, which is the nonprofit organization that's the umbrella over Saturate. I don't get too technical or deep, but get a chance. Go to saturatenow.com. We're going to play the commercial. Maybe. I might not get around to it. You never know. Get to yakking. Oh, man, listen here. I'm glad that if you've called somebody, I sure hope you do. It's a good way to spread the good news, and I appreciate you doing so. Listen, we're going to do this song. This is a song that we still do in praise and worship. Not every Sunday, but boy, it's one of my favorites. And I hope you enjoy it, and I hope it blesses you as much as it does me. It's called Give the Lord the Highest Praise. Saturatenow.com. If you'll go to that website, you can get information about Crossroads Gospel Singers, where we're going to be. You can even book our group if you'd like. You can also get radio content for this Saturate program. You can even download music as well. The site is under construction, so keep coming back to see what changes have been made. If you desire to make a tax-deductible donation to the ministry, Saturatenow.com is the place to go. Thanks for your generous support of the ministry. God bless you. All right, let's get right into it. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land." I know you've probably heard that. I don't know about you, but I've seen it on billboards. I've seen it on church advertisement boards out front. I've heard multiple sermons preached on it, and especially during the time when we're voting on political offices to be filled. I've heard lots of speakers and teachers talk about it. And even though that's not the focus of our attention today, I'll say a lot of what you hear, especially during those political times, is they gear it toward America. And they'll say, you know, boy, if America would just humble themselves and pray and seek God's face and turn from their wicked ways, then God would fix this thing. God would fix America. God would fix this problem. We get the right person in office and blah, 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 and on and on. You know what I'm talking about? Well, folks, I want to tell you right here, that has been taken completely out of context. Now, before you get mad at me, thinking that I don't advocate humbling myself or turning from wickedness and praying and seeking God's face, you're wrong. Those are great things. That is absolutely a need at any time, in any place, anywhere. We should always want to humble ourselves. We should always. Jesus said, follow me. I'm humble, I'm meek, and I'm lowly. You know, pattern yourself after me and turn from your wicked ways. Don't sin. That's what 1 John chapter 2 says, don't sin. If you do sin, we have an advocate, the righteous Jesus. But he says, don't sin. You know, turn from wickedness. Certainly, we don't want people to think they have a license to sin. Seek the face of God and pray. My. These are all good things. So don't think that I'm against that. But what I wanted to bring to our attention today is how out of context this scripture has been brought. And it always seems like they gear it toward America or Americans, or even, you know, personally you take it. But I want you to know in context, this scripture was God speaking to Solomon after the dedication of the just finished temple. Solomon's magnificent, wonderful temple. I want to read some stuff to you from somebody I read named Tim Chaffee. Did a great commentary on this, but he did bring out this part of the context. Let me read this to you. It backs up. It says, then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer, and I have chosen this place, talking about the new temple, for myself as a house of sacrifice. Now, you see there? Let me just stop right there and just say, as of right now, today, we live in the dispensation of grace. Jesus Christ has become our sacrifice. We don't need another sacrifice. But this scripture that we're reading here is back in the day when they did need a sacrifice. They were still under the Mosaic covenant of living under the Ten Commandments and living under the sacrificial system. So this is God talking to Solomon in that time, in that day, specifically for Israel and specifically for the land of Jerusalem and Israel over there. So listen, when I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. It continues. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayers made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. Okay? So I just want you to understand, we need to be wise. We need to know God's word. And we need to know, because the Bible says try everything. Try the spirits. Test everything. This comes to my mind. I've met up with people from occults, and I'm not going to name one of them, but I've talked to people that are in a cult, and you know they're versed. They know what they believe, and they know where to find it in their book. They know where to tell you and what they stand on. They know exactly what. Folks, I'm ashamed to say, and I'm not getting on the church because I don't have that authority to do so. It's Jesus' church, and he's building it, and I just don't have enough authority to get on it. But I'll say, personally speaking, me, I have not been armed with that kind of ammunition to stand up for what I believe. I need to study God's word, and you do too. We need to know what the word of God says. We need to know how to, and this is our premise of our broadcast, how to rightly divide the word of truth. There is a division. There is a dividing place. It's not okay to take this scripture, 2 Chronicles 7:14, and just spiritualize it necessarily. I'm not negating what I said to begin with. I'm all for humbling yourself, praying, turning from your wicked ways, seeking God's face. I'm all for those things. But don't take this scripture out of context. This scripture was absolutely meant for a specific person for a specific time. Remember, we always say in interpreting the Bible, you always need to know, number one, who's talking. Number two, who's being spoken to? And number three, what time is it, right? What dispensation? Well, in this case, this is God talking to Solomon, and it's back in the dedication of the Temple of Solomon, and he was specifically talking about the temple and it being a place where people could come and pray in case of whatever may befall the land, you know, a famine or locust plague or whatever. Come and pray and seek God's face. So just wanted you to know that it was really specifically for that time. You know, we have a tendency to take a lot of scriptures out of context. I always reminded of the brother that stood up in the pulpit, and he said, you know, if you take text out of context, all you got left is a con. I got that one day, finally. I'm a little slow, but I did get it. If you take text out of context, all you have is a con. Folks, we got enough con going on. We don't need another con game. We need to know what we believe. We need to know how to back it up in Scripture. I mean, there are Scriptures that we take out of context. Just take, for instance, 1 Corinthians 2:9. But it's written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered in the heart of man the things God's got prepared for those who love Him. You know, I've heard that preached in context, talking about heaven, talking about describing heaven. That's not at all what Paul was talking about, because if you read the very next verse, it says, but God had revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. So you see what I'm talking about? You can take Scripture out of context and preach anything you want to preach, just about. There used to be a joke, and I can't even remember how the guy was talking about it. If you're going to jump off a wall, do what you do and do it speedily. It was ridiculous, but it was talking about taking Scripture out of context. Folks, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then, you notice it said then? This is still under the Mosaic Covenant. This is still under the time when, in order to be blessed, in order to have the blessing of God on you, performance was required. You had to perform. You had to do. We don't live under that anymore. We're under the dispensation of grace. I got a scripture I want to read to you. Galatians 3:23. I want to read it in the Berean Study Bible. Before faith came, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. I like that one. That's the one. So see, that's where we are now. We are in the faith dispensation today. But it said until faith came, we were locked up. We were locked up under the law. And this scripture that we're talking about today is in that dispensation of being locked up under the law. The people had to perform in order to get God's blessing on their lives. Folks, we're not there today. We're living in a time where Jesus Christ has taken our sin, nailed it to the cross, and your sins have been forgiven, past, present, and future, and you live now under the blessings of being in Christ. He says you are accepted in the Beloved. Oh my goodness, that's such great news. And you know what it takes to get it? Believe. Well, I don't know if I can believe. Well, listen, I know something about you you don't even know. You were created in the image of God, and God's a believer. God made you with the capacity to believe. You can believe in things you cannot see, and that is the truth. When you consider all the things in your life that are not good that you have exerted your willpower and effort on that are still the same way they've always been, why don't you try something different? Why don't you try just simply putting your trust in Jesus Christ? And I'm telling you, God is God enough. If you'll do what He asks and just believe in Him, He's the God that's God enough. He'll come down and He'll make a change in your life. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the good news, folks. Thank God you heard it on this program. In Jesus' name, I just ask right now that you just bow your head and accept Christ as your personal Savior. If you do that, He will save you and you'll be eternally secure. And God bless you for coming to Saturate today. We love you so much. Appreciate your faithfulness. Join us again here tomorrow. Same time, same place. Okay? Bye-bye.